My scripture today is the 8th verse. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. But why are the pure in heart blessed and happy? You know, we've heard the word blessed a lot today. Blessed are those. Because they're sincere, they're simple, they're happy. Their lives are clean. And they have that great promise of eternal life. So some definitions. When we think of the heart, and for those of you that have had your heart worked on, we think of this muscle right here. We think of that cardio. Or the word cardia. But when we think about the pure in heart, we're talking about the mind. And if y'all hear me rattling, which we were sitting there last with Brother David, and I start rattling, that's some of the effects of what I'm going through. So just sort of ignore it. I can sit in the afternoon, every afternoon, and Melba hears me. So. Okay, heart is figuratively the feelings or thoughts of the mind, a conglomeration of our intellect, emotions, will, and conscience. The definition of pure in Greek, the word is katharos, of uncertain affinity, clean, or figuratively clean, clear, and pure. The idea of unspoiled without impurity or elemental. And as I was driving over, I thought of another verse that goes really with this. And it's James 1 and 27. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this: to visit the fatherless and widows in their afflictions, and to keep himself unspotted, pure in heart and unspotted from the world. So I thought that verse goes very well with this, because that defines really the pure in heart. It is those that are unspotted from the world. When we think of pure gold, we think of gold that's uniform in composition. When we think of purity and morality, we think of one who doesn't smoke, drink, or engage in promiscuous living. You listen to most music except Christian music. Those are the themes. A lot of themes. It doesn't matter whether it's country music, rock and roll. And I'm going to say the next one. I don't consider rap so much music. To me, it's more racket.
Yeah.
But it talks a lot about things that you aren't supposed to do. But genetically, it is a pure breed. A pure breed is one that hasn't been mingled with another. You know, dogs that are not pure breed, we call them mutts. Pure notes in music don't have discordant sounds. The pure heart is then an intellect supplied with the truth. Emotions tempered by sobriety. A will focused upon a straight course. You know, Christ tells us about how that broad is the way that leads to destruction, but straight is the way that leads to life. So conscience doesn't waver for immorality. 1 Peter 3 and 21. The like figure whereunto even baptism doth also now save us, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It's that answer of that good conscience toward God. We've all got that conscience, and that conscience, and you watch cartoons and you watch other things, and you see the two little figures come up. You see the devil on one side that's saying, okay, go ahead and do it. And then you see the little angel on the other side which says, don't. You know, that's that good conscience and that answer of a good conscience toward God. So the pure in heart are blessed and happy because they're sincere, simple, and serene. Their heart is not mingled or mixed with impure thoughts. Titus 2 and 7, in all things showing thyself a pattern of good works and doctrine, showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity. Sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. That sound speech. You hear people, you know people, probably a lot of us have worked with people, and I know I have, that can't say anything without a few four-letter words. Yeah, it happens. And if we talk like that, then there goes our sound speech. Because that's not sound speech. I can go through life without using all these words. I can go through life without hearing all these words, and I'd be happy. And I used to work with a guy, and I saw him a few weeks ago in the store. But it seemed like every other word, one of the four-letter words. But sound speech. As Christians, we've got to have that sound speech. 2 Corinthians 1 and 12, for our rejoicing is this, the testimony of our conscience, that in simplicity, in godly sincerity, not with fleshly wisdom, but by the grace of God, we have had our conversation in the world and more abundantly to you were. The testimony of our conscience. Pure motives that are not deceitful with others. Like Brother David talking about the guy that, he goes and begs for mercy, but then he didn't have mercy on the other. Did he have the right motives? 2 Corinthians 2 and 17. For we are not as many which corrupt the word of God, but as of sincerity, but as of God, in the sight of God speak we in Christ. They are simple. And when we think of simple, we don't think in the sense of stupid. We think of simple. 2 Corinthians 11 and 3. But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. Some people try to make the Word of God hard. But it's not. It's not hard to understand. It takes study. It takes dedication. It takes that meditation. But it's not hard. So truth isn't really complicated if it's accepted and believed. Christ says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And that, I think, is John 14 and 6. So, it's error that makes things complex. Adam and Eve's life changed because of error. It became more complex because of that error of Eve listening to Satan, listening to the serpent. For the pure in heart, life isn't complex for them, and it doesn't need to be. Think about the group that meets year after year. We aren't complex people. We're people that like to get together and fellowship. Spend time with one another. I was thinking next year will be the 30th year that a group that started in 1988 in Brother Kent's dining room or kitchen about 30 years. Okay, Titus 1 and 15. Unto the pure, all things are pure. But unto them that are defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure. But even their mind and conscience is defiled. Unto the unbelieving, nothing is pure, but their mind and their conscience is defiled. But you know, Christ taught in simple language. He would tell the parables. He would tell these things in such a way that it was so simple. The Bible teaches us that the Word of God is so simple that though fools nor wayfaring men should err therein. It's that simple. Scripture we've heard today, Philippians 4, 8 and 9, and as we thank God, that pure in heart, they're serene. Serene comes from sincerity and simplicity of thought. Philippians 4, 8, 9, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. The one who practices these things has that promise of Jesus Christ. Think about this. True, honest, just, pure, lovely, of good report. As we go through all these, that being of good report. If there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. So the one who practices these things has that promise. In verse 9, those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen and may do, and the God of peace shall be with you, whatsoever things are honorable, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, and if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. Think on those things that are good in life. If we're thinking on positive things, if we're thinking on good things, then we're thinking on things that are pleasing to God. Philippians 4 and 7. And the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. When we live like verses 8 and 9, when we look in the mirror, we should be happy with that person. If we look in that reflection every day, we've got to be happy with the person we're looking at. We can't blame stuff on others. story in Atlanta this morning. Woman supposedly had her drink at a Chick-fil-A spiked. Nobody knows who did it. So she goes off and she runs over somebody and she does some pretty other stupid stuff. And she's blaming it on others. We are responsible for us. I've got a poster that I put up in my classroom, a Garfield, facing Garfield, that it says, "You are responsible for you." Ultimately, I'm responsible for me, and you're responsible for you. If I see you making a mistake, I'm supposed to come to you, and if you see me making a mistake, likewise. But ultimately, we're the one that's going to answer for ourselves. Okay, the next thing, their lives are clean. The pure in heart, their lives are clean. Purity of life follows purity of heart. Proverbs 4:23, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Romans 6:17-18, but God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered to you. Being then made free from sin, you became the servants of righteousness. God be thanked. Alan said this morning, we're all sinners. God be thanked that we were the servants of sin. But we have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Another scripture used this morning was, Peter asking him many times you should forgive your brother. He says until 7 times 7, and Christ said no until 7 times 70. We all make mistakes. Verse 18, being then made free from sin, you became the servants of righteousness, which means we first purify our hearts. We need that greatest source of purity, and the greatest source of purity is the Word of God. 1 John 3:3, and every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself even as he is pure. We've got this hope. We've got hope that one day Jesus is going to come back and he's going to take us home to be with him. And that's what it's all about. Sunday I used 1 Corinthians 15 a lot. And, 1 Corinthians 15 talks about, if Christ didn't raise from the dead, then our faith is in vain. And, that's part of what, it's a great chapter. You could break it up into a lot of sermons. But you've got that one group of scriptures right there that basically says that, Christ wasn't raised from the dead, then we don't have any hope. John 17:17, sanctify them through the truth. Thy word is truth. Christ in himself says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. I am that truth. We've got to trust and obey God's word to become pure, to become that pure in heart. Acts 15:9, and put no difference between us and them, purifying their hearts by faith. Put no difference between us, but we purify their hearts by faith. by obedience, and we've heard, we've talked some about that this morning. Our hearts are made pure. 1 Peter 1:22, seeing you have purified your hearts and obeying the truth through the Spirit and the unfeigned love of the brethren, see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently. What are the two great commandments? Christ tells us that the two great commandments are to love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, mind, and body. It's about love. The second one was to love your neighbors yourself. Love one another with a pure heart fervently. We've got to let Christ live in us. Galatians 2:20, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Paul writing there, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. We live because we accept Christ as our Savior. We bury the old man of sin, as we find in the book of Romans, and we raise up a new creature. Galatians 2:20, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Paul said that if in this life only we have hope in Christ Jesus, we're of all men most miserable. So what happens if the heart is not pure? We know the answer to that. We'll be condemned. Matthew 23:25-28. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you make clean the outside of the cup of the platter, but within they are full of extortion and excess. Thou blind Pharisee, cleanse that first which is within the cup and platter, that the outside of them may be clean also. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are like unto the whited sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but are within full of dead men's bones and of all uncleanness. Even so, ye also outwardly appear righteous unto men, but within you are full of hypocrisy and iniquity. Pretty strong words how Christ was condemning the Pharisees, because within they were full of hypocrisy and iniquity. In Matthew, the 7th chapter, in the 21st verse, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you that work iniquity. I've got this strange habit sometimes of putting you instead of ye. So with this, we would become corrupt. Look at a lot of politicians. You got one going to prison maybe today for doing things that he shouldn't have done years ago. 2 Timothy 3:8, now as James and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth, men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. Jude 1 and 10, but they speak evil of those things which they know not, but what they know naturally as brute beasts, and those things they corrupt themselves. I think I heard the word grudge mentioned this morning, or maybe this afternoon. When we hold grudges, and you see people who hold grudges for 50 years, who suffers? The person that the grudge is held against, or the person holding the grudge? The person that the grudge is being held against probably forgot it 45 or 50 years ago. But for 50 years, that other person's been suffering because they hold something against somebody. That goes back to that forgiving our brother. But the pure in heart have great promise because God will be seen in them. God himself is pure, 1 Peter 1 and 16, because it is written, "Be ye holy, for I am holy." Psalms 18 and 26, "With the pure thou wilt show thyself pure, and with the froward thou wilt show thyself froward." The pure desire that promise. We sing the song, "Standing on the Promises of God." We desire that promise. Psalms 51, 10 and 11. "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a bright spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me." Create in me a clean heart, and renew a right spirit. Psalms 24 and 3. "Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord, or who shall stand in the holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul into vanity, nor sworn deceitfully, he shall receive the blessing of the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. This is the generation of them that seek him, that seek thy face, O Jacob, Selah. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Those that have clean hands and a pure heart." So that promise supplies additional motivation. The promise itself that Christ gave his life so that we have hope of life should be enough of a motivation. Hebrews 12 and 14, "Follow peace with all men in holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord." Without that holiness, without being pure in heart, we shall not see the Lord. 1 John 3, 2 and 3, "Beloved, now we are the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure." A lot of us have had bodily issues lately. And I've talked to several, we've had our problems. I was told to approach man with a positive attitude, and we've tried to stay positive. We had one member at Antioch who has gone through cancer twice. She's 40 years old. But her mom said, positive attitude. We stay positive. And I guess the positive attitude... Now I'm going to be like Oscar and be a little emotional. In all the prayers for from all the people in all the churches, because Ben was at Douglasville like 3 days after I found out. Bill called me within 2 or 3 days. It's different. It's all these factors. You know, that positive attitude. You look at a lot of people who's been through several weeks of chemo and a good 3 weeks of radiation. They might not feel this good. But I actually feel pretty good. Okay, how happy will the day be when the pure of heart say God? So, in conclusion, why are the pure in heart blessed? Because they're sincere, simple, and serene. They have a life that is clean, and God will be seen in them. And that's it.